Talk Shoe. Recorded live.
Hello, everyone. This is Carl Shinneman, Director of Legal Analytics and Review at Juranov, and welcome to another edition of ESI Bytes, where we offer information from national speakers on electronic discovery at a price everyone can afford, which is free, and available when they're interested in listening to it or downloading it to an iPod, a computer, or any device, and listen to it when you have time. Today we have a real interesting show as we get to interview one of the really true original pioneers in electronic discovery. Eddie O'Brien created Ringtail, which is one of the first web-based litigation review software packages back in 1996, I believe. Is that right, Eddie? Sometime around then.
And, yes, it is.
Currently is a senior managing director with FTI, where he oversees research and development for FTI. They release a different UI, which has an Outlook feel to it called Ringtail 8. But the purpose of the show isn't to talk about a specific product, but it's really to talk to Eddie as a visionary, someone involved really close to the beginning, about what challenges he sees looking forward in e-discovery as we look forward. And Eddie, I'm thrilled to have you on the show. And I always like to start the program by asking how you got interested in electronic discovery.
Oh, thanks, Carl. It's a pleasure to be on the show. Well, first, I suppose I should declare a little of my background. I was born into the perfect storm in some ways because I'm within months of the same age as Bill Gates and Steve Jobs. That doesn't mean to say my bank balance looks similar, but I was born into the beginning of one of the great revolutions in social environments with the computer technology environment. I'm a computer scientist. Similar to those guys, and really got involved in this particular field, electronic discovery, after I'd already done stints with people like Pricewaterhouse and IBM as a software developer. And I was working in venture capital in a company that had an interest, in particular, interest in digital court management systems. And during that time, this was about 15 years ago, I met a barrister and a self-taught computer programmer called Chris Priestley, and we decided to put our minds together to create Ringtail. Now, the genesis of Ringtail was originally a case management tool within the courtroom environment, but it quickly moved towards legal document management and litigation support for law firms, corporations, and governments. And as a personal aside, the work I'm most proud of that we do is related to work around the United Nations and international criminal courts, which still has its main focus around the idea of a courtroom environment, but handling international issues. So we established a footprint in Australia, and quite quickly thereafter, with not enough money to really do this, but we left for the USA and set up in Williamsburg, Virginia, and established the business for the U.S., North America, Canada, and for the U.K.
So what trends, let's just jump right in. What trends do you see in electronic discovery right now?
Well, it's an interesting marketplace. The requirements of when I entered, the marketplace was dominated by binary applications and was really all about imaged document information, and companies like Ringtail, which is based on a relational database backend and a browser as the metaphor of access, became a premise for delivering both on-premise and on-demand solutions. One of the really interesting things that has sort of moved on there in the last 20 years, it's been an incredible convergence in technology and sociology, economics, and organizational structures have changed to a very large degree. We've gone from pyramids to a participation-oriented environment where organizations have flattened out. We've also progressed towards the sort of the virtual from the vertical to allow organizations to be more widely spread. And we've got this much higher touch feeling now than we have around higher tech. That's the John Naisbitt argument from nearly 30 years ago. And circumstantially, social networks are a key element of all of that. So some of the trending that we're seeing is progressively as technology has become more pervasive in the organizations, and we see things like massive use of email and social networks and things like Exchange, Outlook, Lotus Notes, electronic discovery has become an incredibly complex field, and it's forever evolving. Over the last 15 years, I haven't had a dull moment. It's always changing, and there's always a new set of challenges emerging.
And, one of the things that, I've been tracking, in fact, last week I did an interesting show with Professor Jaime Carbonell, who's not even in the space of e-discovery, but he's a computer scientist dealing with something we'll talk about, I'm sure, at some point, machine learning. But how do you see legal and computer science continuing to merge together?
Yeah, well, it's an interesting area, Carl, and I think there's a clear emerging trend around standards in the broadest sense. The World Wide Web is creating a standard for how information is made available and accessed around the web, and OASIS are a large organization dealing with things like how you construct standards for information management in that space. But I think there's a set of interesting trends for us specifically around standards groups merging from both the legal community and the computer science disciplines. And this will focus at functionality, interoperability, and performance of how application solutions are built. And what I like to think of this as a framework for orderly development. So we have, many groups that the listeners will be familiar with, such as Sedona Conference, the Electronic Document Reference Model Group, EDRM Group, text retrieval folks over at Trek, and the great work they're doing. And then we've got some kind of nice new work that's being progressed by, the ICAIL groups. That's led up by Jason Barron, one of America's top archivists, because he's a government archivist, and he's focused at trying to help create e-discovery search standards, which is incredibly important because we need to have some more construction around how we exchange information and rules for that to allow the process of cases making its way through the courtrooms in a reasonably fast manner, and then so on through OASIS, where they have the content management interoperability services, which are very strong structured information standards, and things like Legal XML, which I had many years of working as one of the founding members and leaders of some of the standards groups for e-contracts, transcripts, electronic filing into the courtroom, and areas like that. There's a couple of new things which I kind of think is interesting and relevant. Is, of course, where the W3C community is moving along, and we're attracting, there's a lot of attention towards Web3. We're starting to build the framework for all of that, and ontology languages are going to be part of that. These are vertical industry-focused economies and ontologies, languages, definitions for how information works in particular environments. And, there's so much great opportunity if we can build standards to build great solutions. And as a developer, this is key to me.
It's interesting how none of those groups were in existence when you started Ringtail. So it certainly is an interesting evolution, right?
Yes, absolutely. And it's become a more mature marketplace. When I entered, it was a little bit of a ma and pa kind of world. I'd come from professional software development, and there was good work going on, but it was mostly what I would have classified at the time as hobbyist development.
Well, let's talk about one of the themes that you talked about in the beginning with how things are evolving in terms of the cloud and social networking. There certainly are some challenges in e-discovery when you talk about the cloud and social networking. What do you see? First of all, what does cloud computing mean? And then you want to talk about some of the challenges.
Well, the lexicon for cloud computing is reasonably varied, but if I would characterize it this way, it's to me two broad things. It's a pay-as-you-go elastic platform to access on-demand hardware, operating systems, and applications, a very powerful way of creating cost-effective solutions within organizations and being able to scale and basically take as much as you need in an elastic manner. The other side of the cloud is a really compelling new challenge for us in electronic discovery, and that relates largely to the massive types of new data information assets that we're now having to deal with as part of the evidential process. You know, things like the social networking environment and all of the new ESI challenges, the electronically stored information challenges that come from things like Facebook or Google Docs or Windows Azure or Google Mail or Twitter or Yahoo, MySpace, Salesforce are all massively interesting and problems that actually keep me attracted to this space. It's so compelling because everything we deal with in evidence is dealing with all of the changes in technology and the market in general. So those are that's broadly how I see the construction of the cloud, those two areas. And basically the second part of that, the document assets that we have to deal with, this evidence, is all about structured data. And discovery of structured data is going to increase. There's no question in my mind of that. You know, we've gone beyond the image paper or even native documents in the form of a composite proprietary environment like a Word document or an Excel spreadsheet or a PDF. We're now into this new world of really trying to deal with this ESI, this electronically stored information, in a way in which we have to find ways of constructing it just to make it identifiable, because it's pieces of information inside a data structure that has virtual context to it. So a quite extraordinary set of new challenges that we're facing.
Why do you think these trends impact and change the way ESI is potentially reviewed?
Well, there's a whole series of things that, these document types are not like anything we've ever seen before. They're not constructed in the same way as a composite document or an image piece of paper. These things have constructs around elements of information inside the relational database, spread over a virtual environment, connected only by pieces of meta elements, and it's hard to know what you're actually dealing with in all of that. The opportunities in this field are, and the challenges are quite astonishing, in as much as that data is so difficult to reconstruct into a form that's recognizable. And then how do you actually decide on what's relevant, what's exchangeable, what's privileged? It's a very complex set of tasks to perform against.
So in terms of the actual use out there of cloud ESI, I think when we were chatting about this earlier on a couple weeks ago, you talked about some of the metrics that really show how much cloud information is out there.
We have metrics of our own just experience-wise within the FTI environment and what we're dealing with in Ringtail. And I can give you a general background metric in as much as in 2008 we had 20 matters which were largely about cloud ESI information. Now, in 2009, that tripled, and in 2010, it tripled again. So we actually have this growing environment where, a very large amount of this data, that would be probably my current metrics, is something around 78% of this new ESI data, this new cloud data, is based on email, often in chats or versions. 17% is in collaborative online applications, as in Google Docs or something similar, those Facebook kind of environments, and about 5% are in the social networking environment. But because of the way we are progressing, our evidence is always a little retrospective to what's being used in technology, because we're not working on cases that haven't been created yet. We're working is going to occur is actually growing ahead of our experience of what's being managed. And the adoption rates, from my perspective, I think, a lot of startups are going straight towards cloud solutions. Technology companies are early adopters. Non-profits and academia have also moved there. But we're also seeing some really significant early majority corporations and government bodies adopting the cloud as the platform as a way forward for future systems. So these challenges impact dramatically what we'll be managing, next month and 6 months and a year out. And I see the trends for the growth in electronic information management that's cloud-based being profoundly large. It's going to be extraordinary.
Yeah, I'm involved in the technology startup community here in Pittsburgh, and so a good number of my friends are actively starting businesses, and it's amazing the types of tools that they throw at it. A lot of technology, a lot less overhead, and some of them are going to be successful, and none of them are lawyers. So, the divide between how do you figure out how to gather evidence and use it when you don't even use these types of tools, there's definitely a huge lag time here. It's fascinating. What a great space to work in, Eddie.
It is a great space, and because of the nature of the way in which these technologies are being adopted, I'm sure most law firms would not advise you to go out and put all your systems on the cloud if it was just down to a legal advice position. But we have to use the tools to create efficient economics, and that's where these tools are available to us. And it's a great leveling playing field.
Absolutely.
Leveling the playing field. So there's a lot of things actually, to manage that data becomes then a colossal challenge. The investment for in-house counsel on discovery tools, I think, is a trend that you're going to see increasing, and the information management, identification and preservation challenges are going to happen a lot earlier in the corporate or organizational structures, and that they'll have to be dependent on the adoption of controls within those organizations, methods, technologies. They're going to have to set up rules about autosave. They're going to have to decide on what versions are relevant to them. And that data is easy to get into these environments, but really quite difficult to get out. So we have a lot of very interesting challenges to kind of work our way through and decide what we collect, what version, is it all documents, is it shared documents, what do we do about deletion, how do we process and analyze this work. It's a really profoundly interesting and but real and present challenge for us.
There might be some new initials in the EDRM model at some point.
Yes, of course.
So, in terms of cloud computing storage, there are a number of different major players there, and I know it hasn't been sorted out who are going to be the ones that are going to be around in 5 years or so, but how does this complicate the field?
Well, it doesn't complicate the field. It creates new opportunities for organizations. Organizations like IBM and Microsoft have always got one eye on all new technologies. I know from my old days in IBM that they have got a very forward-thinking attitude. Microsoft, of course, subject to great challenges in their technology, but, they're a very advanced organization, and they've bet quite a bit into this model. Google and Facebook and Twitter and Foursquare are all here to stay. These sorts of technologies around these businesses are going to be running not just personal data, but business data. So, Microsoft, for instance, have got a series of initiatives that people may like to look at. The Azure platform is the basis for services and applications within the cloud. They've got their whole business connectivity services inside SharePoint, and they've made big bets into sandboxed, multi-tenancy SharePoint solutions. The Geneva project is all around authentication and authorization, and that framework is well established as a solid basis for commercial enterprise in the cloud. Dallas, that's another one of their major initiatives for the information platform web services and analytics. And then there's tools and technologies like Power Pivot, which is, you know, OLAP-based SQL analytics, and then obviously some web technologies, HTML5, jQuery, the MVC framework, and technologies like Silverlight, which is actually quite useful in a broad sense, that, you know, are all being, you know, mashed together in this, you know, great new world of trying to solve problems with great technologies.
Now, one area that I'm actually seeing here just with podcasting is we're talking to you in Australia, Eddie, and I have another guest that we're lining up in Australia. I've done a number of talks in England, is how this is turning into such a multinational industry. What challenges do you see in terms of trends with the multinational e-discovery?
Yes, well, look, we live in a world economy now, and whatever the ripples are, you know, the old story where the US sneezes, the rest of the world catches cold is certainly still true. But, you know, we have, you know, multinationals and businesses that work cross borders. So, you know, in the US, it's quite a mature marketplace, and I think organizations have understood that, you know, their obligations and the rules of civil procedure have moved quite quickly towards ensuring that people don't prematurely destroy data and deploy technologies to make sure that they are managing and preserving the information that they are obliged to. However, that's not been the case all over the world. You know, I think there's going to be some, you know, new measurements in some nations, some regions, to focus at a higher bar, if you like, for preservation. And I think all of those things are going to happen widely. You know, countries like Australia, the UK, Canada, North America, generally USA, they're all quite sophisticated in this, and they've got their obligations straight. But of course, we're seeing the growth of India and China, you know, the existing strength of Japan, and businesses in those areas are, you know, having to work out how to deal with these really complex international litigation issues. So I think we're going to see more ESI and more electronic discovery in these new nations, these new regions.
Now, we talked at the beginning of the show about my past podcasts with Professor Carbonell, and I've done a couple of podcasts with a few of the judges who are very famous worldwide, and certainly in the U.S., Judge Grimm, Judge Facciola, about their views in this area. How do you see automated review developing, and what do you see driving this movement?
Well, yes, firstly, the courts are quite sophisticated in use of statistical methods, or many of the courts, but, you know, obviously we can't talk about this subject without, you know, observing the massive caseload that faces the US in particular to get, you know, cases reviewed and processed. And so, you know, fully automated review is something of a holy grail, of course, but it's still some years away. What we'll see is incremental steps towards this process, you know, the FTI, about 90% of our patentable activity is in this area. We see, you know, the review and analytics around review as being a critical, you know, set, you know, future for our business, and I think others are witnessing the same kind of idea. So, you know, it's the biggest single budgetary item in the corporation as well now to try and work through review. So, you know, those review areas, there's some very nice work going on with, you know, we're involved, and I'm sure other people are, in predictive review and suggestive coding and a whole series of things that are, you know, very appropriate to helping make, you know, bring some order to the chaos of the information, you know, corpus. It's a large problem, and, you know, I think we're applying good science that's been available and is developing further in other communities and bringing it back into the legal domain.
You know, one of the other trends in the last couple of years has been corporations acquiring platforms to do review and other tools. Do you see that trend continuing?
Yes, unquestionably. There's a lot of traction in this area, and corporations are acquiring more discovery software that they will use behind their own firewall. It's a matter of corporate responsibility to be litigation ready, and a lot of organisations have recognised this and are bringing information to bear in their own environment so that they actually can reveal and understand the scope and potential of the matters in front of them. You know, best in-house lawyers are now really, you know, they employ terrific lawyers. I remember when I first was working, someone said to me that, you know, corporate lawyers are the guys that can't get jobs in the law firms. I absolutely didn't believe it then, and I'm absolutely positive that's not the case now. You know, corporations have got some terrific lawyers and terrific understanding of the problem and are starting to deal with it. On the other side of this same coin, if they're applying pressure to the information plumbing organisations, people like Microsoft and IBM, EMC, those organisations, Oracle, who are managing the core information within the corporation or the organisation government, and making that more compliant to the task at hand to ensure that we can deliver quickly the electronic discovery information out of their world as required.
Great. Well, Eddie, we've reached the end of the show. I really appreciate having you on. I think to the shows we've done here at ESI Bytes, and it seems like I've had an annual show with Ron Hedges looking back at the top cases over the past year. It might be fun to revisit with you every year looking forward of what you see, you know, and, you know, that, you know, would be interesting given it seems like you're not slowing down and you'll still be looking forward next year, right?
Yes, look, it's a fascinating space, and it's taken, well, I've been doing it 15 years plus now, and, you know, it's interesting. Justice is important. Delivering sound solutions to corporations and organizations is important. And as the old Chinese proverb states, you know, you live in interesting times, and I certainly feel that I do.
So thank you again for joining us at ESI Bytes. It's always a pleasure to have people like you and some of the other experts share their knowledge with us and our listeners, and hopefully we'll be able to do more shows with you over the course of the years. To the listeners, if you've enjoyed this podcast, I'd encourage you to go to www.esibytes.com for a complete list of our show. You can also remember our show and website phonetically as Easy Bytes of ESI information. So however you choose to remember us, come to ESI Bytes to learn more about eDiscovery before ESI bites you back. This is Carl Schinneman, Director of Legal Analytics and Review from Juranov, wishing you a nice day.